Yay! I love your hat.
I came prepared.
What other props do you have?
I have a giant alien plushie.
Yay!
Yay!
So cute! Hi, Mia. Welcome back to Mind Probe with Mom.
Hi.
I feel like this is the episode that we've been building up to because we're called Mind Probe.
Yes.
When me and my mom were trying to think of the name of the podcast, I was like, we should do something that's like a pun about aliens somehow, because we're both like totally weird.
You know what animal looks like an alien?
What?
It's a giant tortoise.
Oh.
Like their little faces?
They're called Aldabra tortoises. Yes. Their heads shaped like an alien, except in a different way, that it's going this way out of their shell. And their eyes are totally shaped like an alien. And they're black.
Mio, is that really an alien or is it a tortoise?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up later.
I know about a lot of tortoises.
Oh, maybe we should do an episode on tortoises.
Maybe so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can be the teacher.
No, I don't want to. Then I don't know anything.
Okay, everybody, this is Mind Probe with Mom. I am your host, Amber Jean. I am a comedian, writer, astrologer, and then I'm joined with my co-host / my mom. Her stage name is Star Rhodes.
Star Rhodes.
I'm Star.
Hello, alien.
And my mom, she's a mystical dabbler herself. And if you didn't listen to our episode last week, we had Mio on last week and we got her warmed up enough to the point of talking about aliens. So this week we're talking about aliens. Last week we were talking about creative success and how to tap in your creativity, and we're taking a total 90 degree turn here, or whatever kind of turn you like. And I think I want to start by asking you, Mio. Oh yeah, let's just introduce you really quickly. Mio is my friend and I met her in a really mystical way. And she was trying to see somebody talk about aliens at some convention that I was at. And that's how I met her, was alien related. I wasn't doing alien stuff. I was doing like other kind of mystical stuff. I was like talking to crystals and getting my aura read. And I had just discovered how to talk to my spirit guides, and I was tripping out about that. And I had just talked to my spirit guide, and I didn't even believe that that was what was happening to me. And I was like, okay, spirit guide, if this is real, prove it. Prove it to me that you're real. And then I go to the spiritual convention, and I take an aura photo, and the lady reading the aura photo said, there's a woman in your picture and she's watching over you. And I was like, oh my God, that's my spirit guide. And then I was talking to some psychic and asking them, tell me about my spirit guide. And then the person didn't even want to talk to me about my spirit guide. They were like, your sister is here. And I was like, what? And then the person was like, there's somebody here at this convention that if you don't meet them today, you'll meet them later on and you'll find out that they were here. And so after that person told me that, I was like on the lookout for whoever my sister was. And then I was standing in line, and then for some psychic lady doing readings, and Mio was behind me, and I was extra friendlier than usual and chatting up Mio because I was thinking, okay, maybe this could be my sister. And I was talking to Mio, and then she was really nice, and then we became friends, and that's what happened. Also, she's a very talented artist, and we did a whole episode last week.
Yeah, that was, I usually don't like give out my phone number to strangers and all that, but for some reason in that line, I was like, yeah, I want to be friends with her. I remember texting you right after the show.
Yes. And then the first time we hung out, we saw a chicken crossing the road. What? Oh, no, it wasn't crossing the road. It was just on the sidewalk. Do you not remember that?
No.
We were walking around by the studio. I went to visit you at the studio.
And then I guess
we were just walking around. I don't even remember why we decided to do that. And some chicken was there, and we took a picture of it. But anyway, so I met Mio right as I was really doing a crash course on spirituality, and me and Mio together, we just dove in really hard with all this mystical stuff. And so I know less about aliens than Mio does. She is more of an expert than I am.
I'm so excited. Woo!
So Mio, can you please tell us what your connection to aliens are? What's the deal?
I don't consider myself an expert. I think the things that I share today are purely just my interpretation. It might not be for everybody. Like, this is just purely, you know, my experience and trying to discern what it all means.
Yeah. In the last episode, Mio mentioned that this crystal that she's holding in her hand, she uses it to talk to her hybrid children. And then my mom was like, what the heck? And so I guess maybe we can start there.
Yeah, the hybrid children would probably be a good place to start.
Yeah.
So I was having a lot of dreams at one point in my life where I would constantly be experimented on. Sometimes I would be human and I don't know who, but I would be being experimented on, usually by other human-looking entities.
Could you be more specific of what these types of experiments even looked like? Was it medical stuff and you're like laying down like asleep or something?
Sometimes, yes. So I would have experiences where I would be on a slab, mm-hmm. and this doctor would always be there. He had a red beard and like red hair. He would be doing some kind of, I don't know what.
And you were at like
probing
Mio?
Mind probing.
Shout out to the Mind Probe with Mom podcast. You were yourself or were you something else?
Sometimes, yes. And then one time I specifically remember, because this was the most impactful memory, where I was an alien. I looked down at my arms and they were very skinny and spindly, and I had grayish blue skin. I could see my veins through my forearm here, and I would be experimented on by humans. And that one was very impactful because I knew the humans would be coming back in. And I knew that I was going to be dying. Like, I was going to die through these experiments. I also knew that...
Were you on Earth?
I don't know. It was, I was in a room that had a metal slab. Like, I was being strapped down on a metal slab. So it felt very cold. I don't know where I was.
In your another dimension.
Maybe. Yeah. And I just remember having this profound sadness because these humans that were experimenting on me had no concept of oneness, like that we are one. So waking up, I was just sobbing. And it took me a full day to recover from that dream because it impacted me so much in that humanity wasn't to a point where we could understand that we are all connected.
So do you think that that was really you, like a past life or future life or something? Or do you think that was more of a symbolic kind of a dream?
I think it's the concept of the oversoul. It's probably another being that I'm just connected with through the oversoul. Like, I don't know if you guys are like, should we talk
about familiar, but yeah, yes. Explain it to the people who don't know.
Explain it to me. I love it.
So the oversoul essentially is, I kind of view it as like the umbrella soul, and there are, and it's connected with different timeline, different beings. How do you explain it, Amber?
You're on the right. Yeah, you're saying it the way I would say it.
Yeah, so different timelines, different lifetimes that we're all connected with.
Yeah, so even like you could meet somebody in this timeline, in this life, and you could really be like, I feel like they have the exact same soul as me, and it's possible that they have the same oversoul. But it would you say it's different from a higher self? Like, is the higher self like a smaller section of
I would oversoul? Say yeah, I think it branches out again.
Yeah, so yeah. Oversoul, and then maybe a bunch of little higher selves. and then little humans. Under that,
how I envision it. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, there could be all these different types of beings that are connected to that same oversoul, but they're not you. Maybe some of them are you in other timelines. And then some of them are other people entirely, or other beings entirely.
Yeah. So was this during a meditation or when you went to sleep?
That story was specifically a dream I had.
Oh, and you woke up crying.
Yes, sobbing.
So like I've heard that people can travel. So do you think like you did like some kind of travel while you were sleeping and it was really you and that's where you traveled to?
That one specifically I feel was just a shared experience with one of my other souls that I share the oversoul with. But I haven't had experience where I personally, Mio, is being experimented onto. And those, I've had these memories or like dreams where they try to test my psychic abilities. Like they tell me to move things with my mind and stuff like that.
And can you do it?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then I wake up and I'm really confused because I can't do it.
You're like, dang it. But I will say that Mio has a very open third eye in comparison to other people just walking around. Because when you, like when you're doing a meditation, it's like when I'm doing a meditation versus when you're doing a meditation. I guess our spiritual, our psychic gifts are different, because when I'm doing a meditation and something cool and mystical is happening, I'm like feeling energy and it's all kind of vague. But then when you do a meditation, you're like, I saw all these symbols and let me draw it for you, the symbol that I saw. And then you're able to be so specific, and it's like you're visually seeing all these scenes playing out and all these stories playing out and stuff. That's pretty cool. So what happened with those dreams?
I genuinely thought I was going crazy.
Was it all happening like every night, or?
Maybe not every night, but it was pretty frequent, like maybe once a week, every other week. Just when I thought I was like recovering from one dream, it would happen again. And I
And it was
genuinely,
traumatic every time.
yes.
Well, because so can you tell us what you discovered? Because you took that information of I'm having a bunch of crazy dreams or I'm getting abducted or something. And then what did you do from there?
I feel like the whole alien thing started when I started dating my then boyfriend. I think he was a big trigger in jogging my like remembrance. I don't know if that's the right word. So my husband is very much connected with ETs as well. And my husband has very, very strong spirit guides that are very protective of him. And this has come, like, multiple psychics have told him very similar things. So
Like
if
what?
it's, he's very much connected with this amphibious race in Sirius. And it's interesting because amphibious, feel like, isn't a very talked about race in alien lore, but different. I, to my knowledge, I think three psychics have told him, like, because Steve would ask, do I have connections with aliens or reptilians? And they would correct him. He's like, actually, not so much reptilians. You're actually connected more with amphibious races. And I feel like that's not common thing to say, and three people have said it to him. So, yeah, so I thought that was really interesting. But when, oh, so my husband, he, I think his, one of his missions on this, like, in this lifetime is to create alien monsters to, and get their image out into the mass consciousness.
So that later on down the line, people will be more used to the idea. Whoa, cool.
So one of the aliens that he created was the Predator. He's worked on Alien versus Predator. So,
Mom, did
and
you absorb what she just said? That's a very
yeah,
cool thing she just said.
I know. We're gonna have to have him on the podcast next.
Yep, he's
Be a
made
fun
some
one.
really cool stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, when I started dating him, he was already very much into aliens. So he would be talking to me about aliens. So one night I was trying to fall asleep, but suddenly there was this deep vibration that happened, and it felt like heavy chains being dragged over my body, like over and over. And the sound that resonated in my head sounded like the TARDIS from Doctor Who. Like that kind of wong wong sound. I can't do it, but that's kind of what I equated to. And I was trying to move my body, but I couldn't because of this deep vibration and the chains dragging over my body. And then, so I kind of freaked out. And then from the corner of my eye, because I couldn't really move my head, from the corner of my eye, I could see one tall white alien, and then two smaller gray aliens behind her. So these three beings were in my room,
and they were physically there?
I think in a different dimension they were there. I think it was kind of a merge of two dimensions. Ooh. Into one. I don't know if everybody could have seen them, but I could see their shadows. And I could see them, and then they were coming closer to me. And I started fighting the vibration. And then I like jerked myself, and then the weight just lifted, and then they kind of disappeared. But that was one of the experiences I had early on.
When was that?
This was right when I started dating Steve. So this was 10 years ago.
And what did they want from you?
I think so. At the time, I had no idea. But now thinking back and learning more about what's going on, I genuinely think those are Steve's spirit guides checking in on me because they're so protective of him. I think they were betting me and making sure that I was okay to be around Steve.
Oh. Whoa. That's a trip. So his spirit guides are aliens?
Yeah, he definitely has alien guides that are protecting him.
Whoa. That's cool. Okay, so you had that experience.
And then the dream started. And that's when I thought I was going crazy.
So I want to understand, like, so for a while you're like, what the heck is going on with me? And then eventually you got to the point where you figured it out. So what did you figure out? How did you figure it out?
I guess this might be a good time to bring up Bashar.
Yeah, Bashar. Yeah. So Bashar is a very cool guy. If you don't already know him, you should check him out. It's a guy that channels, and the Daryl being that Anka. He channels. Oh yeah, Daryl Anka is the human, and he channels a being named Bashar.
Yes, and Bashar, I believe, is a fifth dimensional being. Like timeline wise, Bashar is a future version of Daryl Anka. Like they share the same oversoul kind of situation. My roommate at the time actually is the one that introduced me to Bashar. So that was also a very kismet moment. I think I was supposed to hear about him through my roommate. So,
and then I heard about him through you.
So one year, I can't, I'm so sorry, I'm so bad with time, it's just all blends. But one year I was looking on his website for some reason, and I noticed that he had private sessions open, and so I booked one. And so I actually had a private session with Bashar.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. but I think I needed external validation at that point in my life where I needed somebody else to tell me. And the first question I asked was, what's going on? Like, why am I having all these crazy dreams and meditations? And he told me, you are part of the hybridization program. And that was like, oh, okay.
All right. What is the hybridization program?
So the hybridization program is where to start. There's a future timeline where we would now call them grays, I think. But grays are an evolution of humans that at one point in their history turned off their emotions.
Mm-hmm. And that's the classic, like, alien, like the big head with the big eyes, right?
Yeah, the grays. Well, this one guy's green, but you know.
Yeah.
The grays. So the grays are a future version of humans that ended up turning off their emotions, and they started cloning themselves instead of reproducing.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, their DNA started to degrade and they couldn't clone themselves anymore. And so they were going to die out. Mm-hmm. And so in order to save their line, they jumped into a timeline of the humans that had a soul agreement to help create a hybrid race
mm-hmm.
of humans in these grays.
And those are the Essesani? Or what are the hybrids called?
Bashar's races are the Essesanis.
Uh-huh. And that's the hybrid.
I believe there's another race called the Yayels.
Oh.
But I think they're closer to humans.
So, Mio, you're part of the humans that made a soul agreement to help these aliens not die out, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, do you remember making that soul agreement?
Nope. No, I don't. But I'm glad that I did.
And now, so, like, they're just taking your DNA, or are they literally harvesting your eggs, or do you know what they're doing exactly?
No, oh, I have no idea.
Mm. And
does it sound, it sounds like they're splicing DNA. Like, I don't think it's my egg and, you know, alien semen.
They're manipulating your DNA somehow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they talk about percentages. Like, it's not always like 50%. It's always like, we'll use this kind of DNA here and splice it over here. And so.
So they're using a bunch of different humans to create.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. So. All right. So how do you feel about that? Like, do you think it's cool? Or you think it's creepy? What do you think?
I think it's cool. I'm happy. Well, I hope I get to meet them. I'm happy to help.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to help. And yeah, I really hope that one day I get to meet them and hug them.
Aw, so you have like a maternal feeling for them?
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Because you're like not wanting to have any kids in this life, right?
No.
Yes. So you're like, oh, I love my children that aren't even here. They're like, I'll be an alien somewhere.
Yeah. I think one of them looks a little reptilian too.
Whoa.
So I'm like, oh, I want to meet him.
But so coming back to that crystal that you have, when we went to Mount Shasta and you found that crystal and you were meditating with that crystal, and you realize, oh, I feel like this is how I can contact my hybrid children. What was that experience? I already forgot. Did you literally like talk to them with the crystal?
Yes. So the main, I don't know if she's a girl, still a girl. She was a girl. Her name is Amethyst, and she's the main being that I contact through this crystal. And I guess the reason why I'm able to connect with her the most is because she has the highest percentage of, like, we share the DNA we share. I actually found my journal entry where I was talking about them.
Yes, share with us.
I wrote, "Hello, dear one. You were indeed involved in the hybridization program. Your DNA was..."
Wait, can I pause you? Mm-hmm. So the reason why Mio is reading from this other perspective is because Mio knows how to channel.
Oh, yes.
And so she channeled this message. So, okay, carry on.
Your DNA was used extensively to create several children. Memories of these events were erased to a certain extent as to not cause trauma on your part. If you wish, we may start showing you what happened when the timing is right. Hybrid children. Amethyst carries one of the more higher percentage of your DNA than any other of your children. That is why she has a strong connection with you. And yes, as you guessed, the crystal, I think I was asking about this crystal, the crystal that represents her in your life has reappeared again, meaning she is ready to communicate with you.
So have you communicated more with them?
Oh, at this time, we would like to certainly inform you of the hybrid children that would like to connect with you. And I wrote Jack, Isle, Jeremy, and Kaolin. So there are four other hybrid kids that wanted to talk to me.
Ooh. Do you know how many are out there?
No, I never asked.
I think it's interesting that we're kind of diving back into this because it feels like it wants to be revisited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you took a break from it. And now it's time to go back into exploring it. So, hey, Mom,
mm-hmm.
What are you thinking over there? Are you confused or pondering or anything?
I'm thinking, where do they live?
On ships?
On ships?
I don't know.
Spaceships.
Oh, spaceships. Oh. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like pirates or something?
Pirates? And spaceships. That was one thing that Bashar brought up in our session, was that now they've transitioned into the phase of the program where they are like educating the children now, to be able to handle Earth life, I think.
Because they're gonna be brought to Earth?
Yes.
What? Because they look human enough?
Maybe. Maybe.
Well, I watch a lot of Gaia, you know, that channel. And they are saying like they're already living here.
Oh,
Mio, what if you bump into one of these kids? Wait, so would they actually be kids at this point, or would they be older?
I feel like they would be a little older by now.
Like how old?
Teens?
Whoa, you got a teenager alien walking around.
So how do you do the channeling?
So I actually took a class on channeling where they teach you to open up all your chakras and you make sure that you're only bringing in positive entities. Because there's definitely negative ones out there as well.
How do you do that? You just set the intention?
Yes, intention. Very, very important. So surround yourself with like love and light and, you know, what is best for, you can come up with your own.
So like if you're somebody mantra. Who's never even thought to do any channeling ever, what would it look like? So you sit down and yeah, decide I'm gonna do some channeling right now, and then what?
I'm hesitant to just recommend people to channel on their right. own.
Yeah, they need to learn.
I feel
what
like
they're
there
doing.
Needs to be a bit of a support system there, because you definitely don't want to be channeling willy nilly, like just letting anybody and everybody in.
Right. So with that being said, I guess it is still cool to tell people like how it's done, and then they just need to know, don't do it if you don't know what you're doing, because you might accidentally screw yourself over.
Same concept. Playing with a Ouija board, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, don't play around with it. But yeah, I think the idea is to open yourself up enough and almost let your consciousness go into not remission, but like you pretty much have to let go of the steering wheel if you're driving a car, and like shift yourself into the passenger seat and let another being come through.
That's very interesting. Were you a natural at that? Like, was that easy for you to do?
No.
Oh. I feel like, because you have Mercury in Pisces, I was like, I feel like that would be easy for her to do, because you're just like loosey-goosey.
It was interesting. Yeah, in the class that I took, there were other students there, and they would channel and talk, and they would bring in the same beings every week. And for some reason, I couldn't talk. I could write. I could write what they would be telling me in my mind, but I could never speak. And
maybe because you have throat chakra blockages or something?
Yes. I still don't know what that's about.
Well, doing this podcast is very helpful, I think, for that.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much for having me here, because it is. It's a great practice for me to use my voice. But yeah, and every week I would bring through a different being. Like, it would never be the same being twice.
Were these beings that were tied to you in some way, or just randos?
Kind of randos. They all had very positive messages.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't bringing in any negative entities, but also it wasn't very consistent. So
I have a question, just like kind of a general question about aliens that people might be wondering about. So, like, I think people who don't know shit about aliens, they might be like, what's their deal? Why aren't they here? Why aren't they talking to us? Why are they talking to you and doing these weird experiments? Like, what do they want? What's their deal?
The aliens that are in the dealing with a hybridization program, well, I think that's their agenda, right? Like creating another race.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I have strong ties with the Palladians as well.
I think I do too. I don't know for sure, but I think I do. Mom, do you know about the Pleiadians?
Yeah, I do.
What do you know about them?
They're really pretty. And I don't know. I don't remember. A lot of the stuff I watch, I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. But then I can't retain the information. I don't know where they're from, if they are from Mount Shasta, or is that where they hide out or something like that? Is that where they are? That's where they are, right?
They're from Pleiades.
There is a
Oh.
under apparently there is an underground society under Mount Shasta.
Yeah.
It's called Telos.
Telos? Yes, Telos.
Yeah. That's
We
where me and Mia went, huh?
meditated.
We went into a portal in Mount Shasta. And we meditated in that portal, and then there was this lady that was guiding us in a meditation, and she was like, "Okay, now you're in Telos, and you're talking to some guys, and who are you talking to?" And I was just talking to one of my spirit guides the whole time. My spirit guide, Jacob. That was the
Oh,
cool.
Jacob, yes.
That was a cool thing. Maybe we
Who was
should.
Mio talking to?
I don't know. Probably some alien.
Another psychic experience. I was talking with a psychic lady in Mount Shasta, and she said that I had this connection with a guy named Ashtar.
Ooh.
And don't know why, but I do not trust Ashtar.
Oh, what's his deal?
I have this really big resistance against him. I don't know why.
Ooh.
But one of the experiences I had that I thought was really cool was when we were driving back from Mount Shasta to LA. I was talking about Ashtar to Steve, and Steve was looking him up on Google because we didn't know who he was. And right when I said Ashtar, I saw this falling star, but it fell and paused, and then it continued falling.
Wasn't a star.
No, I don't think
It
so.
was Ash Star.
Star.
That was a different time you went to Mount Shasta?
Yeah, it must have been because you weren't there, right? I think this was in the winter time.
Some really cool stuff happened to us when we went to Mount Shasta. Should we talk about that? Even
Yes.
more about fairies?
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Those fairies were pretty aggressive.
We're kind of pivoting a little bit, but this is a really cool story. I went with Mio and Steve to Mount Shasta, and we had this lady kind of tour us around, and she took us into this little forest, and I was like, oh my God, this reminds me of that movie. What is it with the fairies? What's that called? The cartoon? Fern Gully. I was like, this is Fern Gully. Fairies live here. I know it. And I was all tripping out about that.
It was
And
the Sacramento Riverhead.
Oh, that's what it's called?
Yeah, where the water
Isn't it
comes.
called the Mount Shasta Riverhead? But you're saying Sacramento?
Oh, I think it's the Sacramento Riverhead.
I
Sorry.
don't know. I don't remember. But yeah, so we went over there, and then I was like, oh my God, we gotta come back here later because I need to meditate with these fairies. And then so we did. We went back later, and I was kind of meandering around, and so were Mio and Steve, and my intuition was guiding me to this big giant stump, and my intuition was Like, I wasn't as in tune with my intuition then as I am now. I was still kind of new to all of it. And so for me to trust so wholeheartedly in my intuition was kind of a big deal at the time. But my intuition was like, stick your hand in this stump. And I was like, what? No, there might be some bugs in there, or like a rat might pop out of nowhere and like bite my hand. Like, think of like a stump where there's like a mysterious hole. You don't know what's in there. And my intuition was saying, stick your hand in there. And I was like, oh, geez. But in that moment, I didn't doubt it because it was so loud. And I knew there's something to do with fairies here. And so I just listened to my intuition and I stuck my hand in this stump. And then I moved some leaves around and I found little fairy treasures. I found a little mini seashells and little mini crystals. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, whoa, these are like fairy treasures. But then of course my logical mind is like, oh, maybe somebody just stuck these in here. But so I felt the energy of those things, and it was like blasting me with fairy energy. They were so powerful, even though they were so little. And I was like, Mio, get over here. And I showed her this stuff, and Mio was like, oh, how wonderful. I'm imitating you as if you're like a little fairy character. Wondrous. And then Mio was like, we should ask them if we should trade. And so I was like, yeah, okay. So we left some of our own crystals there, and then we took two of the fairy crystals that were in there. And then, so that was really cool. And I was like riding on a high where I was like, I am the most magical person in the world. And so then I was walking around in that area again, and I see this tree where there's like a little hole near the bottom. And my intuition, just as loud as it was before with the tree stump, was like, fairies live there. And I was like, Mio, Steve, we gotta meditate with this spot because some fairies live here. And so we sat down in the forest and we got close to that tree and we were meditating. And I don't remember what you guys were meditating about, but I was meditating about myself drowning. And I had never had a meditation like that before. And so I was like, what the heck? Like, is this like a warning? Am I about to drown and die or something? And I got all freaked out. And then I was meditating some more to try to like understand what the heck this was all about. And I felt like it was trickster energy. Like they were messing with me and they were trying to scare me. And I was really scared. And then I turned to you guys and I was like, I think we need to go because these fairies are threatening me with my life. And
your energy completely shifted after that meditation.
Yeah, I was totally freaked out because I had never had a meditation like that in my life where it was like it's when the way that it feels to be meditating with a being versus just by yourself is like when you're meditating with a being, it's like these images or thoughts get inserted into your brain. And so to have this like visual get inserted into my brain of me drowning, I was like, I need to get out of here. This is really creepy. Like, I don't want them to insert other stuff into me and like maybe they're wanting to actually hurt me. I don't know. So I got really creeped out. And then we left and I asked Mio later on, because Mio's really connected with fairies too. And I was like, Mio, can you meditate with these freaking fairies and see why they did that to me? Do you remember what you saw in meditation or what you discovered?
Oh, but weren't you hexed?
No, I wasn't hexed. No, they, you said, you said that the reason they did that was because I was really close to their home and I wasn't in tune enough to be able to be aware of what I was doing. Like maybe I would have fucked up their house or something because I was too close and I wasn't fully aware. And you said that they saw me as like this big bear, like a oaf, just like brah, like and so they were
I do
trying to scare
remember
me
no.
away, huh?
I do remember that now. Yes.
They're trying to scare me away so that I wouldn't accidentally screw up their house, which is fair. And so I was so creeped out by them. I was like, get this fairy crystal out of my life. And so I gave it to our friend. And now I'm like, oh man, because now I'm not scared of them anymore. And now I'm like, man, I wish I wouldn't have given that away. It was such a magical thing.
But
But I
we
was
burned
kind of
a
scared to
contract.
keep it. What?
Yeah, I remember you burned a contract.
Oh, what was the contract about?
Like they hexed you.
Did they? What
Yeah.
do you mean?
So like not hexed. Well, yeah, hexed, right? Like a
Like they were kind of watching me or something?
yeah, and we had to burn the contract to make sure that it didn't harm you.
Huh, I don't remember that.
Right now,
Wow.
for a split second, it looked like you had fairy ears, like long ears.
Just now?
Yeah, I just
It's
saw
'cause I
it.
do. Did I do?
I keep noticing like lighting in Amber's area keeps changing.
Oh. Maybe they're here. Well, now I respect them and I respect nature. And the lesson that I learned from that experience was never enter into a space that feels sacred without permission. Because I was just like, it felt sacred. And so I wanted it. I was like, oh, this sacred thing, I gotta have it for my own experience. And I think that's very human. To be like that. But then it's a good lesson to learn, like, not everything is for you. Like sometimes it's there's some sacredness to it and you have to just respect that and you have to leave. You have to ask if you're even allowed in there. Because if we would have asked permission, it would have been a no. So
Yes.
now when I'm in a forest and I'm like, whoa, something magical is going on here. Something feels sacred. Something feels like there's some mystery here. And in those moments, I tune in and I'm like, am I even allowed to go here? And then I'll either get a yes or a no. And if it's a no, I'm like, okay, bye. I'm not messing with this.
Where was it that you meditated with a Sasquatch?
I've done that on a few occasions. The first time was Los Angeles in the mountains somewhere. I was in this random place where there was so many flies and there wasn't really many people walking around. And then I meditated and I was like, I feel like there's something around here. And then so I meditated and then I saw a Sasquatch in my meditation. And he was like, get away. Like because I was like, whoa, cool, what's your deal? And he's like, I don't care. Like he didn't want to really talk to me. Like it was kind of like, it wasn't like he was like, get out or anything like that. It was like he was like rolling his eyes like, ugh, human. But then there's been other times where I've meditated with a place and then I felt, oh my gosh, this is a Sasquatch spirit that's here. And like, not all of them are grumpy like that first guy. He was really grumpy.
But that kind of relates to not aliens, but the alien lore of being of beings in different densities or different dimensions.
Yeah, we went on a little side tangent there, but it is all kind of the same thing because they're different beings that you can't really access just by walking around. You have to access them through meditation because they are in these higher densities and you can't see them visually.
They say Sasquatches are like humans before, like be oh, so cute.
She's got a Sasquatch plushie.
I do. I love Sasquatch. Anything. Look at her big feet. And they're painted. Wait, can you see it?
Yeah. Sasquatch is, if humans would have been allowed to evolve naturally without all these extra terrestrials kind of fiddling with our DNA and stuff, we would have been Sasquatches.
I think the reason why they can't find Sasquatches is because they just travel through portals.
Also, they're in a higher density, and we can't physically see them because we are in a lower density.
That makes sense. But then why do they have videos of them, and how come they could get like heat cameras and see their like body? And I watch like all this stuff about Sasquatch.
I hope that means that we are raising our vibration enough to be able to see them.
Or maybe those specific beings are doing it on purpose.
Yes. Sure.
Well, okay, so let's try and tie it back with aliens.
The channeling and the crystals, like, so how does that, like, when you're doing your artistic part of your life, how does the channeling and the crystals, see, like, the color just changed in your room where you were, Amber?
Oh, I have a continuation of my alien dream.
Oh, cool.
So, and it connects to my art. So after probably several months after I had the dream of me being experimented on where I was an alien, I had another dream. And this felt like a future timeline. I was being taken down underground into this facility. It felt like it was on Earth. But as I was descending down the stairs, we came into a room where it was massive, like football field, several football fields. It was a huge cavern. And on the left side, there was a wall of water. Air-breathing beings would be on the right, and water beings would be on the left.
Ooh.
So there were all kinds of aliens down there working together. And it was fun because they would be working together. So these ships would be floating in the water, and the air-breathing beings could throw tools and it would go through the water, and then like the water beings would just like cat, like it would float in. And
this is a dream you had?
Yeah.
And where and were you in the dream?
So I was taken on it felt like a tour of the facility, and I was being guided by this, I think she's a reptilian hybrid being. She had feathers on her forehead, and she was a reptile. Like, she didn't have a beak, but she had these feathers, and she had a little lizard-like muzzle. She was very beautiful, and she had a clean white scientist-like outfit. And essentially, it felt like, look, we can now work together. So that was, when I woke up, I was really happy because it just felt like, yes, we feel divided now, but in that like in that world, all these beings, humans, aliens, we were all just working together. And that was such a beautiful memory for me, even though it was just a dream. And so that being, she was so beautiful to me, I ended up sculpting her, and
yep,
her name,
I was gonna ask you that.
I named her Karis with a K, to just pay homage to her, I guess. And
I have a question for you. So when you have these dreams, people who are not as in tune with their intuition and stuff, like, how do you know that these are like more than just a regular dream?
Because I think, I don't know how else to say it than it's a knowing, just a sense you have. But also, I think it takes time and practice to be able to discern what's coming from your subconscious and what's coming from outside. Because honestly, I don't think I could have imagined a world like that. I don't think I'm that creative.
I think you could.
Yeah.
I believe in you.
I don't know. There are dreams. I definitely have dreams, and I've kept dream journals before. And there's mornings where I wake up and I journal my dreams, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that was definitely my subconscious just processing whatever I had the day before, or whatever.
Right. Yeah, it feels different.
It feels different. And I think when you start to journal, you start being able to figure out what is what. And I think over time, you can start to discern. Because actually, this was going back to Bashar. I was asking him about my dreams, and he's like, you are jumbling up so many aspects. Because I was asking him about a purple planet, and I was asking him about mermaids. And like, he's like, ooh, no, they have nothing to do with each other. You are just mixing everything up.
What about the mermaids?
Mermaids, he said that was more about the Atlanteans.
Oh my God. I want to do a whole episode about Atlantis and Lemuria.
We could talk about the Atlantean crystal.
Oh my God, that was so cool. Are you remembering the time that we were all crying after meditating with a crystal? We were hanging out as friends do and just meditated with a crystal
and crying
about it.
What?
So
wait.
What?
Talk about that, because that's kind of weird.
So Mio was like, check out my cool new crystal. It's an Atlantean crystal. And then she came over, and I had learned previously from my meditations that I had past lives on Lemuria. And so for those of you who don't know what it is, it's like it's a lost continent, just like how Atlantis was a lost, I don't know, city or continent, whatever it was. But Lemuria came first and was like the divine feminine kind of energy. It was all focused on spirituality and community. And then Atlantis was the opposite polarity, where it was very much the divine masculine. It's very logical, very scientific. And so I already knew and had seen like imagery and stuff of my past lives in Lemuria. And then Mio was like, I think I have past lives in Atlantis. And so when we busted out this Atlantis crystal, I think you went first, Mio, if I'm remembering correctly. And she saw just she saw all this like this whole scene play out of how Atlantis was destroyed and how she was part of it, right?
Whoopsie, I just sunk a whole continent or somewhere, whole city. The visual I was getting was, I was, my intention was to save Atlantis, and I was trying to lift the whole city off the ground and into the sky.
By
But it
using
didn't go
crystal
well.
technology.
Yes, and then instead I sunk it.
Yeah, whoopsie. Sorry, everybody. I'll try again in a few million years.
It was just, it came from such a yucky place of greed. I could just feel the what's the word? Where I feel so confident, but
Arrogance or something?
arrogant. Yeah, that's the word. I've just felt so arrogant. It was just, ugh, I didn't
Yeah,
like that
I
feeling.
gotta be
And
the
just,
guy to make this all happen. And so Mio saw that whole scene play out, and then when I meditated with the crystal, I saw myself as this Lemurian person who was like trying my best to help with Atlantis, because I guess there was some prophecies or something of it's gonna get destroyed. And so the Lemurians, like there was a bunch of us who were there trying to save it and trying to turn things around so that there could be balance. And I saw this whole scene play out where I failed and I saw everything getting destroyed. And after I got out of that meditation, I was totally crying because I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm repeating that same lifetime now, where it's like Atlantis is about to crash and burn again, and I'm trying to help to get it going in the right direction, and oh my God, I failed and everything got destroyed. And this time I'm like, okay, I hope I don't fail this time. It like hit close to home. So yeah, that's why we cried about crystals, Mom.
I never cry.
Want to talk about that? You want to get something off your chest?
No,
Oh.
I don't. Yeah, if I have a crystal and I'm holding it, like my favorite crystal is this little, or a quartz pyramid, and for some reason I just gravitate towards that one out of all the thousands of crystals that I have. I don't know why, but I don't hear anything, I don't see anything, no visualizations or nothing like
Well,
that.
here's the steps. If you want to talk to your crystals, so each crystal is gonna be different when you meditate with it. Some of them, they will legitimately talk to you and they'll be like, here's some wisdom that I have for you. And there's like a character that comes and they're like, here's some info, here's some info. Let me show you something. And so, like, this character will come and talk to you. And then other times, you'll just like, there's no character, it's just like energy. And you kind of just have to feel into the energy and like get a feeling for what the energy means. And then other times it'll be like a bunch of visuals, and there's not like a character that's there talking to you. It's just like a story kind of playing out. And so I mean, there's like so many different things that can happen. Like the very first crystal that I meditated with, it was a Lemurian seed crystal. And that crystal just showed me like all these different scenes about the demise of Lemuria. And so every time I meditate with it, there's some other different scene of like the destruction of Lemuria. But then other crystals I have, it's like my little, like a dragon is here to talk to me, or, you know, something cool like that. So what you do is you hold your crystal and your consciousness is about to go hang out with the consciousness of that crystal. And so you ask permission from the crystal. Crystal, may I please tune into your energy? And then you'll either feel resistance or you'll feel some kind of openness and some kind of permission of some sort. Maybe you'll actually hear it and it'll be like, yeah. Or you'll just feel like a sure kind of an energy and not actual words. It also depends on what your psychic gifts are. If you're somebody who's really visual like Mio, you might literally have very heightened visuals pop up while you're doing this. And so once you get that permission and you decide to tune in, your consciousness starts to go into the energy of this crystal. And so you feel into the energy of it. And so your mind is like, before you were thinking thoughts, like if it's me doing it, like amber thoughts, I have amber energy. And now that I've asked permission for this crystal, I'm thinking totally different thoughts and I'm feeling totally different energy. And so you do your best to translate whatever it is that you're feeling and seeing. And it might be kind of slow at first, and you might be like, if you're not used to translating energy and understanding what's coming up, it might go slow. You kind of just have to trust that whatever it is you're being shown, there's value in it. And then if you ever feel like nothing's happening, I'm just feeling wind energy, and what do I do with that? I don't know. You ask questions. So if you're kind of hitting a wall of like, I'm just feeling wind energy and I don't know what that means, then you could ask a question and be like, okay, Crystal, what does this wind energy mean? And then see what comes up. And you could ask the crystal like, show yourself, Crystal. I'd love to see who I'm talking to. And then see if there's a little character that comes out. Maybe they won't. Maybe there is not a character associated with it. And you just kind of like, you just, if you hit a wall, you try to find your way out from that wall, and you ask a question and you just see how it goes.
Oh, okay. I'll try that.
Yeah, Amber's a good teacher. She's the one that taught me how to do all this. So
yeah. And that skill, you can use that for talking to aliens if you really want to. It applies to everything. I want to talk to my spirit guides, same skill. I want to talk to some aliens. Hey aliens, I'm here, what do you want to tell me? Same skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like for crystals, I like to warm them up with my body heat. Mm-hmm. And kind of tap on them to wake them up. It's like, mm-hmm. Can I talk to you? This is my energy. Do you like it?
That's so true. I do remember doing that. I haven't played around with crystals too much recently. Yes. Anyways, we're coming to the end of our podcast here.
I still wanted to know how she channels the aliens through the crystal.
Okay. It's just what I described, right?
I know, but I want to know how she does it.
I think this crystal is specifically tuned in with amethyst. The girl that I share the most DNA with. So when I tune into this crystal, it's automatically her voice. I don't know how else to.
Yeah, so Mom, when she first picked up that crystal and she asked to tune into it and see what's the magic about this crystal, she didn't know. And then when she tuned into it, then she found that she was connecting with her hybrid children. So it's not like she said, this crystal is going to be the crystal where I use it to talk to aliens. It's just kind of, like each crystal you pick up, you don't know what it's for. You got to talk to it and you got to see what it's all about. And you but do
the,
that.
This crystal did call out to me in the shop. I picked it up and I was like, oh, I love this crystal. So there might be something about your aura crystal as well. If you tap into it, it might have some message that you want it or need to hear.
Yeah, I have to.
Go get it.
But I also like pyramid shaped crystals, but for some reason, when I got, I think I bought, 10 of them, all of them had this, crazy vibration. And if I, hold it in my hand and I close my eyes, and I get totally off balance. I don't know if you could see it over there. And people don't say, a lot of people say oh, they're just rocks or whatever. I'm like, well, yeah, sure they are, but they actually have energy. And so some people don't believe. So I always grab the specific crystal and I'm like, just put your hand out and close your eyes and see what happens. And then every time they're like, whoa, I feel dizzy. I'm like, see?
Let me look at that crystal again. Okay, so I'm going to tune into it, and I'm going to tell you what I feel. So right away, the first thing that I feel when I tune into it is it feels like I just felt like my energy, which was a very mental energy, go down to my lower chakras. So that's the first clue. Don't know what that means yet. So I'm just going to keep tuning in and see what else is going on. Oh, okay. So I think that this is it helps to shift out of density. Because I think before you had that crystal, you must have been much more dense. And the more you hold it, it's like it's literally bringing you out of that density a little bit. Because it's like such a high frequency.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an angelic frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have two totally opposite frequencies, you are being this totally dense human. And then this angelic frequency in the form of this crystal, it's like it helps you to kind of meet in the middle a little bit just by holding it.
Yeah. And it's like right now it just makes my fingers tingle holding it.
I think you should put it near your root chakra, and I think it will help to alleviate some fear patterns that, well, this is an interesting thing that I'm channeling from it, from your ancestors, which are also my ancestors. Like these fear patterns that got embedded into your DNA, creating a root chakra that is very fearful. Because, all these fears of safety and stuff. I think that if you purposefully put it on your root chakra to kind of unwind those old patterns, it can allow you to feel safer and allow you to even be more open to abundance.
Oh.
Because right now you're so closed off and so in fear that you're not receptive to abundance because you're not receptive to anything because you're closed off and fearful. So you have to like work on unraveling that a little bit. And that crystal, if you just like put it, like just hold it on your root chakra while you're watching TV or while like just while you're going about anything, it will help to do a lot of the work for you. And the consciousness of that crystal, yeah, there's like a character attached to it. There's like a angelic guy.
Oh, what'd you say about ancestors?
I said that your ancestral trauma has created patterns in your own body where you are very fearful, because they were very fearful and they passed that down to you.
Thanks.
Mia, what did you pick up?
So I saw the pyramid, and right above the pyramid, I saw blue light for me, which for me, I'm like, oh, throat chakra. So for me personally, I think it was targeting my throat.
Oh, it's interesting. Maybe it is for different chakras.
Or wherever you have the blockages. Like where the fear is for me is my
throat. Oh.
Interesting.
So now I'm going to read up on this Aura Quartz pyramid shape, because every shape of a crystal also has its purpose.
Right. And pyramids are for healing. So like it was interesting because the way I was seeing it was like as if there was these patterns that were like kind of wound up and like all these threads that were kind of like all tied together like that. And then the pyramid kind of like dispersed them, and like that was healing to disperse all that density and bring light into the equation.
On that note, I love it. Last night I was I was sound asleep, but I went to bed with a full stomach, so my stomach was talking all night long, so I had to like really make sure my earplugs were in so I didn't hear my stomach. So it was so noisy. So I finally fell asleep, and then I started listening to this bedtime stories on YouTube, and they're so good, man. They put me out in seconds. But anyways, I woke up to turn it off, and it was like 1:27, I think it said. And then I tried to get back to bed, and I think I fell asleep, but I felt like something was trying to get up on my bed. Like if a child was trying to get up on my bed, but there was like more than one. I felt like they were both together trying to get up on my bed. And I just like woke up, but I don't know if I was asleep or not. So then I said, get out. And then they like left, and then they left me alone, whatever that was. And I was like, oh my gosh, go back to sleep. Then my stomach was going, I was like, ugh.
Well, next time that happens, if you're not too scared, you should do what I described, how to tune into the crystal.
Mm-hmm.
And do that of like, okay, I'm going to tune into the energy of whoever that just was. And
then not at 1:27 in the morning. I'm scared.
If you're in a position where you're not so scared, that's what you do.
Oh, yeah. Can they come like here, like right now, when we're all talking about it, totally open to it, not in the middle of the night? Ideal. That would be ideal.
Mio, can you summon these beings?
I think so, yeah. You just have to ask them. They say that like three in the morning is when the veil is the thinnest, mm-hmm. right? It's mm-hmm. probably like easiest for them to come through at that time. Mm-hmm. But
wow, they need to try harder and do it in a less creepy time.
Yeah.
On that note, thank you, Mio, for joining us again and opening up your throat chakra with us.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I hope this was okay. This is just my experience, my interpretation of my experiences.
Yeah, but I think it's a great place to start with all of this, to have some actual firsthand experiences. And then if I ever want to have this talk again about aliens and have somebody who knows all the ins and outs of all the facts and stuff, then that's cool. But I think there's a lot of value in talking with somebody who anybody could relate to, of like, she's just a normal girl who's has all this crazy stuff happen, and it makes it start to feel more real.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I know I'm not the only one. I know there's other people out there. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I think we're going to end the episode here. Usually me and my mom talk a little bit longer, but it's already been a long episode. So bye, everybody. Thanks for
Bye, Mio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.